Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Warning. This episode is not safe for work. It contains foul language, many references to sex and sexual acts, references to sexual assault and fetishes that may or may not be disturbing to some listeners.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange and unusual, creepy and crunchy, the wild, the crazy, and the sexy? Today we're entering a world that is highly judged, a world that is demonized, a world that is completely misunderstood. We had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with Chloe, the host of Stripper Stories, and we got to pick her brain about the sex industry. We discuss people's aversion to sex work, the types of changes we can make to make their lives safer, the things that make her feel empowered, the things that she will do, the things that she won't do, and the wildest things she's ever been asked to do. So, grab a handful of dollar bills and put on your latex because we're headed to the club. My name is Ashley and this is my co-host Lauren.
Hi, weirdos.
And this is the first part of our sex series.
Sexy time, everybody.
Sexy time.
We have been waiting to get to this episode for a long time, and I'm so happy it finally worked out. Our guest was in the UK, so it took a lot of planning, but it is fabulous that it's finally happening because Chloe is a delight.
She really is. We've been wanting to talk about sex for a long time. There's a lot of material there in the world of the weird.
Absolutely.
Obviously. But the more Lauren and I talked about it together, the more we realized that sex and sex work in the sex industry, there's nothing really weird about it. It's kind of us that's weird about it. So
yeah, we make it weird.
And we make it weird.
We have our own biases. And yeah, we have all these beliefs and there is like years of shame ingrained into people. Like we are all making it weird. It doesn't have to be. And that's why this episode is lovely.
Mm-hmm. So we made friends with Chloe, who is an absolute blast. I even said on Instagram, like if I could now pick any person in the world to go out with one night, I think it might be her.
Oh, that's genius. I need a dinner date with her.
She was so fun. On Zoom at 8 a.m. So like how much fun could she be in person with a drink in my hand?
Right.
So. We made friends with Chloe, who lives in the UK. She works in the sex industry. She's a professional stripper, a dominatrix, and she does cam work as well. And I think that's primarily because of COVID, but also it's just like good, safe work for women in the sex industry.
It's kind of the new way to work nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before Lauren and I have our episode about sex, we wanted to pick her brain and see what she had to say about it from her personal perspective. And like my honest to God hope, as we were saying earlier for this episode and next week's episode, is just to get people to feel more open about sex and feel a little less weird talking about sex and definitely to shift some stigma away from sex workers and strippers because they really are put into this weird box. It's like compartmentalized into who you think they are and what they are human beings. Mm-hmm. And
Chloe was so much proof of that, of just like living, breathing, wonderful woman who is just like you and I and wants to eat her takeout food on a Friday night when she gets off work. And we just hope that all of what you're about to hear helps you guys understand the sex industry a little bit more and can hopefully take away that little bit of fright that you might have of it, of just that unknown, like that it is, mm-hmm. there are human beings, wonderful women behind that work. And you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to, you know, talk about it in whispers. Like, let's open up that conversation. Yeah. It's okay.
And they're human. They're funny and wonderful and they're flawed and they hurt like you do. And they have kids that they love and hobbies and they do their taxes and they go to funerals and they do all the things that we do. So anyway, today's our interview with Chloe. And then next week, Lauren and I will have our own little chat about sex and fetishes and stigmas. Maybe sex with ghosts. I don't know. We haven't recorded yet. A lot can happen between now and next Tuesday.
That's true.
Real quick, before we get to the interview, I just wanted to give a huge hello, thank you, and welcome to some new patrons. Today we are saying I love you to Sadie, who I'm going to call Secret Sadie because her last name is a mystery.
Oh, great. We love you, Secret Sadie.
We've also got Brooke Shell, Liz Purvis, Leslie Fong, Ashley Ziegler, Holly Kolscher, and Molly, who is actually from Centralia.
Hello, Centralia. Oh my gosh. I did see her message come through either. Yes. I think it was our Patreon page. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, a Centralia connection. That was awesome.
She graduated many years after me. I am old. But she found the show because her mom sent her the Shakespeare episode. And we chatted for a bit earlier this week, and it totally made my day. So hi, Molly. Say hello to your mother as well. From us.
So glad you liked the Shakespeare episode. Ashley did so much hard work on that. That was so good. And it's just awesome to meet other Illinois people in general. Yes. So hello.
Yeah, you know, obviously there are millions of us, but boy, oh boy, when it has, it's sort of like being in the same room with someone with the same birthday, how it's like, I know that it's not rare, but boy, is it exciting
when I meet one. It still feels joyous.
In the wild. Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, so many people from my hometown have discovered this show and podcasts in general thanks to that episode, so I feel very proud and grateful for that.
Love that.
Being able to, like, introduce people to, like, a new medium, a new way of... A new entertainment that they didn't even know existed. Yes. So, and last but not least, a very special shout out to a very special listener, a huge supporter on social media, and now patron of our show, a god among men, a literal modern day Viking, and a really fantastic dad. Hello and thank you to Mikey Harwood.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Mikey.
We love you, Mikey.
He's been with us.
If you said anyone's name but his, he was about to lose his mind because I know he was ready for his name to be called.
He would find my phone number and give me a call. Hi, Mikey. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you, for donating to our show and continuing to support us. We love you very much.
We would be nothing without you. Thank you, guys.
All right, let's get to the show and say hi to Chloe.
Enjoy.
Today we have a very special guest, someone we've been chatting with for months now for an episode we've been looking forward to for years. As you know, on this show, we don't just talk about weird things. We talk about the weird parts of normal things. We've talked about sports. We've talked fashion. We've even talked twins. And today we are talking sex. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce the host of the podcast Stripper Stories, Chloe.
Hi.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi, Chloe.
Tell us and our listeners a bit about yourself, please.
Okay, well, thank you, first of all, for having me on the show. Like, I've been a big fan of you guys for a while. And it's a real pleasure being here. I've been a sex worker, I guess, for the last 10 years. I worked in most avenues of sex work. And so I'm now a host of a podcast called Stripper Stories Podcast, which is kind of born in lockdown, like lots of podcasts. And we just talk a lot of things to do with sex. Sex work, normalizing sex work and sex conversation. And yeah, we have loads of interesting guests on every week. So definitely check it out if you haven't already. And I'm really, really happy to be here. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I love Stripper Stories. I listened to a couple episodes, obviously, to prepare for talking to you. But also when you first reached out to us last year, it's so funny.
It's so funny. You guys are so entertaining, and I love that just no topic is off the table,
nope.
That you guys really cover it all. It's perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, no, honestly, it's giving me something to a little vent, a little way of venting all of my...
Oh, yeah.
For real. Like, I'm sure people don't really want to be talking about sex 24/7, and I just make sure that people on my podcast do. So I'm like, yes, I have, something to, I have people to talk to now. So it's, it's pretty good.
Yes, I love it. That was sort of my first question, because, you know, sex, first of all, is a completely natural, normal, everyday thing. Nothing about sex or even the sex industry is weird. I think it's us that's weird about sex.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
I think especially in the U.S. Oh, my God. We make it so much worse in the States, too.
We're all Quakers.
Really? Is it? I mean, I've never worked in the States. And so, yeah, but I have a lot of friends who do. So I know it's kind of difficult out there right now, isn't it? A lot of the strip clubs are closed and things like that. Obviously, since lockdown. Yeah.
I think things are starting to reopen. But yeah, I mean, and it's always been, I think, a little more taboo over here than what, than we see in other countries. So it's very strange.
They got pretty creative over here, especially in like Las Vegas. They had stripper buses. So they had these like buses come through that had like an entire side of the bus was just like plexiglass. And the girls were inside completely, you know, stripping. And they would literally just like pull up, and there were little slots where you could put money through the plexiglass of the bus.
That's actually
pretty genius.
It was great. So the strippers got to strip. It was amazing. But the question that I wanted to know, because I, like Lauren was saying, like here it is, the sex industry is pretty taboo. But why do you think people are so closed off when it comes to the sex industry, from like avoiding it to straight up hating it and being against it?
I think, I mean, from... I guess from the podcast and speaking to other people more regularly about it, it's systemic. I think it comes from like when you're a lot younger and the things that kind of your parents and your school and your religion teaches you, you know, it really does kind of grow from within you from a really young age. So I think it's more of a habit, I think, than people actually genuinely despising or, you know, having a comment on sex work, because it is the most natural thing. Sex is the most natural thing. It's, you know, and sex work being the oldest profession in the world. It's like, it's been going on for so long now. Well, you think that as human beings by 2021, we would have really figured it out. But I think that because of people in their own communities being taught specific things about it, generalizations, I think that that's probably the biggest problem. It's kind of like, you know, whispers everywhere. No one really actually wants to speak to a sex worker about what it is to work in the industry. It's all just like hearsay. So I think that's probably the biggest issue for us, is like preconceived notions of what it, you know, what we are. You know, we're not our job. We are human beings. You know, we do enjoy sex recreationally. We don't just, you know, see sex as just work. I mean, it's a shame. I really am hoping that now there's bigger things in the world going on, like Corona and other awful things happening, that people will just focus on something that's more important than, you know, women getting their nipple out on Instagram, you know. So I think, you know, I think hopefully that will change. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. So you are stripping and you're also doing dominatrix work, correct?
Yeah, I mean, pre-corona, I was working in a dungeon. A lot of them have closed down now for good. So,
too bad.
Yeah, it's a bit, it's shame in London. Like, it's very an underground art. It's not really spoken about a lot. So I did that for a while, and now I'm on cam, which is a lot safer at home, I guess, working online.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what types of laws are there when it comes to dominatrix work?
Well, I'm not sure about the US, but in the UK, it's pretty much all about consent and communication. I think that anything in a private setting, most dungeons are privately owned. Obviously, they're not like strip clubs where they have council, you know, council members coming around and checking the CCTV footage. Okay. So because it's very private, it's like almost like a therapy counseling session, you know, when you go and have a session with a dom. So it is much more private. It is down to the individual, whether, you know, for instance, if you're doing flogging play or anything to do with that, whether you want marks or not, it really is down to consent and communication. Laws as such, it is legal to be a dominatrix in the UK. Okay. And to have establishments such as dungeons and houses, privately owned houses. But when it comes to the acts as such, there isn't really much, I mean, I was never really told about it. I've done a little bit of reading too. There isn't really much on it other than just consent. You know, it's just the basic level of consent. You know, a lot of people have different views on that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of people that don't understand what a dominatrix actually does, because I think a lot of people immediately think, well, you have sex with your clients. And it's like, that's a completely different thing. So real quick, just for the people out there who's like, I don't even know what a dominatrix does. What do you do like on a day at work as a dominatrix?
Well, it honestly, the good thing about it is like the reason why I wanted to do the job in the first place is you meet so many different people. A day at work is so different every single day because people have different needs and different kinks and different things they want to explore. So, I mean, you book a session, whether it's, I mean, a lot of people do day sessions. It's really like a therapy office. It's kind of like what, I mean, you fill out a form beforehand a lot of the time. You want to get to know your client. A lot of people are repeat clients, so you would know them inside out by, you know, the third or fourth session. It's a lot of trust. And yeah, you just kind of pick the kind of avenue you want to go down, whether it be flogging, whether it be sissy play, whether it be breath play, whether it be any type of play. I mean, there are certain boundaries I have personally that I won't, you know, go into like race play or like bestiality or things like that. But
things that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah, for real. Like age play as well. I think, you know, for me personally, that's not something I really like to, to dabble in.
It's like, oh, be a 12-year-old girl. It's like, you know what? No, actually,
that's
I think you need help.
Line a bit.
It's crossing the line for me personally, but I mean, I don't ever really judge. Yeah, I mean, but then still, I think, you know, it is really down to like the person in feeling comfortable. But yeah, a day at work is so different. It depends. And I mean, a lot of dominatrix doms do actually have sex with their their therapy partners or their partners in the session. And that's down to them. I've never been full service, so that's not something I offer personally. I'm mostly fully clothed. And yeah, so it really just depends on the person or the house that you're working in.
That was something that I wanted to ask you. You know, you'd said you'd never done full service and you had your reasons for doing that. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's simply because that I feel like I'm a little bit too, what's the word? Small of brain when it comes to sex. Like I can't decompartmentalize my brain too well. You know, I find I get very involved when I'm with a sexual partner. And I find that, you know, a lot of my friends who do work and do full service, they're so much better at just decompartmentalizing and treating it as work and not letting it affect their personal, their personal lives, basically. And I find that sex is so important, especially with my personal partners at home, that I didn't really want to jeopardize that in any way. It can become kind of unhealthy with some people. I found that that was, for me, not really something I wanted to like push. But however, you know, I think that women who do it, I'm just like, hats off to you. They're like serious queens. I just,
Some people are just able to separate that and it doesn't have to come into their personal life. But I think I would be a little more like you. I think I would have that struggle. So I can totally understand that.
Yeah, I think that's why some people can't understand sex work, can't understand, you know, full service sex work, because they have that relationship with sex and they feel that every sexual encounter is, you know, means something or they get that attachment. So when they picture sex, I think that they can't fathom it. I really think they can't personally fathom it.
Yeah.
So it causes a disconnect between, you know, it's a job.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
And like speaking on, you know, my own experience, it's very early. I think that, you know, growing up and maturing had a lot to do with changing my feelings towards the sex industry and women and their bodies just in general, because I remember when I was younger, there were so many actresses that I was like, ugh, I hate her. And as an adult, I can look back and be like, oh, I didn't like her because she was so beautiful. And it was like she was my competition, which is ridiculous because she's Megan Fox and I live in Walnut Hill, Illinois. Like, there's no way. We're not on the same level. But I think that women have that idea in our head because it's placed there. It's a societal pressure that, you know, it's every woman for herself. You are competing with everyone around you. So as I've aged, I've been able to look at Megan Fox and be like, she's a literal goddess. And if anyone touches her, I will destroy the earth. As opposed like
protect
to
her.
Yeah, when I was younger and was just so like, whatever, she sucks. So what I'm getting at is like, as an adult, I can look at the sex industry, sex work, whether it's pornography or stripping or whatever. And I used to think as a young person, oh, it's so demeaning. And as an adult, I can look at it and say, like, that's so empowering that a woman can say, like, I'm using what I have to make a living, and not just like my body, but like I'm using my confidence, my sexuality, my ingenuity. So
absolutely.
With that being said, what about your work makes you feel empowered?
I guess it's like the women around you. I think it's really like a kind of pack animal kind of job, especially in the strip club. Like you do have to kind of, it's like very like being in a zoo. Like how could I explain it more than that? It's like there's groups of girls all, you know, gathered together. And as soon as you kind of work there a while and you kind of gain women's respect and they respect you, you respect them, I feel like people do support you. And, you know, it's such a vulnerable, it can be quite a vulnerable job, you know, constantly being naked, constantly being in that kind of vulnerable state. So having other women around you that can kind of lift you up, you know, if you're on your period and you've got a tampon string hanging out and a woman just like, oh, tampon! You know, everyone's like literally like having each other's back. So for me, that was a huge thing. Having girlfriends who weren't judgmental, because, I mean, even though we're all there to make money, it's actually more, I guess, friendly and I guess, I don't know, more inclusive.
You're all in it together.
Yeah, 100%.
You're a team.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously there are nasty girls, just like there are all nasty boys everywhere. Yeah. Like, so, but yeah, for me, that was a big thing. Having girlfriends who don't judge you. And in the everyday life, the muggle women, like we call them the muggles, like they are much more,
I love that,
much more judgmental. I don't know why. I don't know why it is, but like you can feel the eyes on you. You can feel that kind of, you know, not said judgment, you know?
Yeah, right. I really do think it comes down to a jealousy. It's almost the, you know how some women don't like it when their partner watches pornography?
Oh, yeah. No, God.
You know, when I was like 17, 18, it bothered me that my boyfriend watched pornography because I didn't understand why he needed it, because we don't have the same brain. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, I don't need pornography. I like my head movies more than pornography. So like it didn't make sense, and it didn't make sense that he would want to watch a blonde when I'm brunette, or, you know, that he, it just like there's a disconnect there, I think, especially with women, because we don't have that like necessary. It's not necessary. It's not necessary for us to come, like, period. I mean, I think it is very necessary, but like biologically, like we don't get, you know, we don't get cramps if we don't come. Whereas guys, if they're not coming all the time, they're fucking psychos. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right. Oh, I do think that's a kind of excuse, though, for guys. Don't you sometimes? I'm just like, oh, blue ball syndrome is not a real thing.
I know. It's really, you know, like,
they always use that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just have to come. Or just like, my brain is in my dick. I'm just like, fucking remove your brain. Yeah. Oh, God. Like, I know. Yeah.
I do agree with that. And then they won't spend as much time on the woman because they're like, well, you don't know how this feels. And it's like, listen, I have my needs as well, sir. I would like to have my orgasm, please.
First, that's preferably. Yeah.
First. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I was going to say, like, that's kind of how I am now, as opposed to 17, where it's like, come on, babe. It's like, you've got so much porn at your fingertips. Go take care of yourself. I am busy.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
I don't want it.
Yeah,
my husband and I were just apart from each other for like 2 months, and I had zero problem with him, you know, looking at porn while he was gone. So it's like, I get it. You got to take care of yourself. And that is so much growth from where I used to be, because I will admit that I used to be one of those women that probably would have looked at you while you were dancing and, you know, looking sexy and amazing. And I would have been extremely jealous and thought,
I really do think it's
like
a jealousy thing.
That's what my man wants me to do. That's what my man wants me to be. He wishes I was doing the moves in the porn. And I have now learned, like, that is so not how women need to be thinking. That is not what it's about at all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Your mind has to be changed. You have to choose to learn, though, and, you know, change your mind and educate yourself. And I don't think a lot of women do that.
No, you're right. Yeah.
And I think, too, that a lot of women don't take the time to actually, like Lauren was saying, like learn about it. Because I remember in my mind thinking that, you know, strippers and porn actresses, they had these perfect bodies that I didn't have. Because I have stretch marks and I have cellulite. And it's like, if you actually watch porn, if you actually go to a strip club, you will see those things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Exactly.
In my head, it was like, these are these perfect people that my boyfriend or my fiance is lusting after. And it's like, no, they have real bodies.
Yeah.
Just like you.
They have those curves too.
And it might actually make you feel better if you went and saw them and, like, you know, got to see right. your body on stage, because we're all bodies.
Yeah. I mean, like, if someone asked me the other day, like, what is the stereotypical body, or, like, you know, what do you need to look like to be a stripper? I'm just like, a person. Like, it doesn't yeah. matter. Every right. man or woman, whoever goes to a strip club or watches porn, that everybody has a different thing. Everybody likes something different. So that's the whole right. beauty of the industry, that you can be whatever you want. You can wear yeah. whatever you want. You can, you know, you can tease or titillate or do whatever the fuck you like. Like, people, there's always a need for it. Sex will always be in demand, and you don't have to be a stereotypical way to be perfect. Like, there's a reason why there is blue and red lights in a strip club, and that is to hide things like cellulite. There is, you know, they do it on purpose. Yeah. You know, when the lights go on, we look like just like literal hags. Like,
I was gonna say, we,
a lot of them are like,
you go backstage and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like fucking sweat everywhere, like pussies everywhere. It's just not a pretty sight. Okay, no, so it's
oh,
not
my goodness. Yeah.
Okay, so what makes you feel empowered is the girl power, which I didn't think that was going to be your answer, and that's like my favorite answer in the world. Yes. Because that's my favorite thing in the world. Is there anything about your work that makes you feel like degraded?
You know what? Like you said previously, as you grow older, I think you look back on yourself, like my little baby stripper self, like 10 years ago, I look at myself and it was like Bambi on ice. So, you know, everything a man would say to me, or if he wouldn't choose me to dance with, like dance for him, I would get really wounded, you know?
Yeah.
And it would really bother me. Like, what's wrong with me? Oh, she's skinnier than me. Or like, she's this and that, whatever. She's making more money than me. And I've learned now as I've grown older that not really much can affect me. If a guy's got an opinion, he's got an opinion. It doesn't make it my opinion. It doesn't make my friend. The only people's opinions I give a shit about is my own and my friends or people close to me. You know, if it's, mm-hmm. if it's got nothing, you know, if it's got nothing to do with me, they're not my person, then it doesn't really affect me. I think obviously that when someone shouts out something, you know, you get men, especially on cam as well, they'll say, you know, they'll pop into your chat and be like, ugly bitch. I'll be like, and then they'll log off right. and you'll be like, oh, yeah. big man. That was really, yeah. is that what we're doing? Like, just insulting yeah. women paying them for the privilege.
Your keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that never, you know, hurts, or you think, oh, okay. I mean, the other day I had a guy ring me and he had a crying fetish. So he wanted to make me cry, and it's called dacrophilia. It was on cam, so we have like phone calls that right. come through to our phone as well when you're not at the laptop, so they can find you everywhere, which is fucking unfortunate.
Yikes.
But anyway, they ring and like he's like, oh yeah, I've got a crying fetish. And I get quite a lot of them. They just want to insult you down the phone and try and make you cry, you know? And so I literally have to listen to that 24/7 of a guy calling me this, calling me that. And, you wow. know, I'm just like, the first couple of times that happened, I was like, really? Like, there's people out there that want it. It's so like sadistic and like,
yeah.
you know, oh God. And then this one time, I mean, this happened like maybe a week ago, and I had to report it on the forum. This is proper dark, but this did actually affect me. And he was like, I'm gonna hit my girlfriend. I'm like, what? And he was trying to make me cry on the phone. I was like, no, you're not. I was like, calm the hell down. And he starts hitting something, and I heard a crying in the background on the phone.
No.
I was like, no. What? I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And I literally like was like, what the hell? What the hell? And he hung up the phone. So instantly then I think, right, okay, he's either got his friend there and he's making like pulling a prank, or yeah. you know, something more sinister is happening. And that, you know, it does affect you. I'm not gonna say it doesn't. And wow. I, you know, yeah. had to obviously report that. But other than that, most of the time, we're good. Like, we're, you know, yeah. people are respectful, and you know, they don't push boundaries, which is good.
Does that kind of make, because I know we were talking earlier about like, you never really judge for whatever your kink is, because kinks are, I mean, most, we don't choose them most of the time.
Yeah, right.
Most of the time, it's just like, I don't know. It's just what does it for me.
the
end. But when a kink is something like that, like when they want to make you cry, do you pass judgment on them at that point? I mean, it's natural to be like, Jesus Christ. But like, how do you feel?
I mean, that one, for instance, if someone's just calling me names via phone, I'm like, they're probably just painting my nails or doing something else. You know, they don't really realize that I'm not actually probably listening. A lot of the time I put them on mute, you know, I can't really hear them. And I like, you just see what I'm saying? So it's not really like that much of an issue. But when it's hurting someone else, or, you know, bestiality, like fucking animals, or like, or like, I don't know, indulging in some sort of pedophilic, like, fantasy, or race play, like using racial slurs, that sort of thing, like kind of hate based, I find is obviously going to affect me. I'm a human being, but I mean, I know a lot of women who are okay with it. And that's another way of decompartmentalizing. They're like, it's a job, you know, I think it is quite important to still have some of your humanity left and sanity left. But how you push that boundary is, I guess, is just down to the sex worker themselves. But yeah, for me personally, it would definitely affected me. I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of our listeners want some juicy secrets when it comes to the world of being a dominatrix. So we wanted to get into that a little bit. And you may have even answered it already when we were chatting about it before. But what is the weirdest thing you've been asked to do was one of the first questions.
I'm just trying to think. I mean, it happens every day. I mean, play dead was one. I had to literally lie there and pretend I was dead. A guy had a munting fetish, which is like the munting? Most disgust. Yeah, munting.
What is that?
It's, well, I didn't know this and I had to look it up on my phone. I was like, what the fuck is this? He was like, right, it's when two people take a dead body. This is so fucking dark, okay? People are weird. Take a dead body. One person jumps on the dead body's stomach while the other person eats their like entrails out of the like what? Vagina of the dead person, right?
Stop.
Yeah, I know. It's so dark. I was like, I mean, I talk about it now like it's nothing. But when I first heard it, I was like, oh, Jesus. I was like sweating. I was like, no, can't do this. Oh, he was God. Like, will you just come and sit with me in the, you know, in a room and just pretend like you're dead? I was like, you're obviously not touching me. He's like, no, I just want to like talk to you like while you're dead. I'm like, cool. Okay. So I just lied there for an hour, just playing dead. I was like, do you want my tongue out? I can allow my head back if you want. Like, dying. So yeah, I was great at it. I think I should have won an award. I just aced
it. Found your talent.
I did.
You found your talent.
I was gonna say, like, I don't think I would play dead very well.
I don't know if I would either. I would start twitching and moving.
Yeah, and I'd like have an itch on my nose and I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Like, I know I'm dead, but like my nose is just so bad right now.
I'm just really, really thirsty. I need a drink. Do you mind if I just pop? Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, when you talk about the dark part of it, like that's one thing. I know, Lauren, you've got a couple more juicy questions, but that was one thing that I wanted to kind of talk about. The crossover between our show and your show is, you know, we actually run into sex work a lot on our podcast, especially when we're covering true crime. Unfortunately, I mean, it's a really poorly kept secret that sex workers are killed at a fucking terrifying rate, at least in the United States. I'm sure it's the same where you are.
Yeah.
They're just cases that aren't, you know, important because it's like, well, she was a sex worker. So what did she think was going to happen? It's like, she didn't think she was going to die.
No, she didn't think she was going to be murdered.
How is that? That's not in their job description.
No. Unless it's playing dead and then we're okay with that. But like not real dead. No, that's not cool. No.
I know. It's so sad.
I don't know what it is. I mean, that we've had so many cases about it here and where they're kind of like, just because we're seen as like fallen women or women who ask for it or things like that. It's like, oh, we won't miss another one of those. I'm like, oh, really? We're still there. We're still there. I don't know. It bothers me. But
have you ever, I mean, this is probably maybe too personal, but you haven't ever lost anyone, right?
No, I haven't. Not personally. Good. Thank God. No. Like,
thank
not
goodness.
No, I mean, obviously there's been, I would say less appalling things happen, but it's still as appalling, you know, people having men force themselves on them or like rape or like, you know, all that kind of blurred line of consent. Obviously that does happen. Or people are forced into doing sex work. I've heard stories of that. It's not just always women walking themselves to the strip club or driving them there in their BMWs. You know, some girls don't actually want to be working in the industry. So there are that negative side as well. There is that negative side. So yeah, it's not all completely safe, and it's not all completely glamorized like it is in like the Hustlers movie that they bring out, and all this like Hollywood gentrification that's happening, you know. So
sure,
yeah, but I mean, I've never had a bad experience myself personally, and all my close friends are all very safe and well, so that's good.
That's good.
We are the ladies of Spark My Interest podcast. My name is Diana.
I'm Deborah.
I'm Jessie.
Sometimes our content is shocking. The church blew up. Other times, it's hilarious.
Did he do it?
Yeah!
But the one thing it always is interesting.
That's how they decided?
I had no idea.
Based on the moon? So tune in every Monday for a new episode and
get sparked!
Do you feel like you're properly represented at all in the media? Like, the career, the industry, is there anything that properly represents what you do?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I think it's because it's either really highly glamorized when J-Lo is playing a stripper, or it's really, really degraded and it's always like, you know, badly spoken about. There isn't really that middle ground of people just wanting to get to know a sex worker, or going to women wanting to go to strip clubs just to like support, or like buying ethical porn or things like that. People, they would rather watch or like insult or whatever from the background than actually involve themselves and educate themselves in the industry themselves. I think that's the biggest issue. But yeah, I don't know. It is a funny one. I think in the UK, we don't have any like strippers collectives or strippers rights, really. We don't have any like sick pay or anything like that.
Yeah.
No, nothing like that. It's more just the girls themselves supporting each other.
Which that would be a good change, like a law, you know, if sex work was made legal. I mean, one, it would make your lives so much safer in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Financially and like physically, it would be so much safer. And that's the thing that people don't understand, is like the industry is going to exist no matter what, whether you want it to or not, whether you like it or not, it's going to exist. As you said, it's the oldest career in history. I mean, it was here before dentistry was.
Right.
So, like, it's not going away. So what can we... But the thing is they just... The people that are so against it, they just see you as disposable. And that is a shitty fucking truth, is that they don't care.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, but the funny thing is, isn't it, that people who do think these things are the ones watching porn. And who are the ones behind closed doors, you know, usually.
They're trying to keep it a secret.
Or in like a homosexual relationship and they're like, gays are bad. And it's like, oh man, we know about you, buddy.
You're projecting.
Yeah, absolutely. And even women who have, you know, issues with other women in the sex industry might have like been on a sugar baby website when they're trying to get through college, or might have been on a cam site or whatever. But like, you know, you could never be an escort. Oh no, could never do that. I'm just like, well, you know, I don't know. It's a shame, really, isn't it? But
it is.
I think the reason why we have these podcasts, isn't it, is just to fucking spread the word. Yeah, normalize, just spread the word.
Make people more aware.
Right, for real.
And to just hear, you know, an actual person in the industry talk about it. I think, you know, there's not a lot, unless you're seeking it out, there's not a lot of places where you can hear from a stripper, or hear from an actress in porn, or unless you are actively being like, I want to find a stripper to listen to. So that's why I'm excited, because I know a lot of our listeners, this is probably a guest they never thought we'd have, and I know they're all pumped because they've told
everyone's so excited to learn more. Yeah,
Lauren, you had a couple more questions, I believe, because I cut you off.
No, but I love where we went with it, because that covered other things we wanted to talk about. So that was perfect. Okay, so we talked about the weirdest things that you've been asked to do. Have you ever straight up declined to do something and just said, you know, we're not doing this here today?
Yeah, like all the time. Like guys always push it. Constant. Yeah, constant. I mean, even though there's like rules in a club or rules in a like dom house or wherever you are, guys will always want to push it. Or girls, not just like, you know, being stereotypical here, but yeah, people always, they get like, the emotion runs away with them. So, which is understandable, but it's like, no, down, puppy, down, down, calm down, let's bring it down. So, obviously a lot of times, yeah, it's a lot about touching. In the UK, you can't really touch when you're dancing. It's always a meter away. In the US, obviously, it's a lot more like liberal and you can do a lot more with your bodies. But in the UK, it's very, very like distant. So the guy's like, come sit on my lap. That's I'm just like, yeah, it is nice. It makes you feel a bit more, I guess, I don't know.
It's like a more safer, controlled environment.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But it's harder to make money, you know, obviously because it's harder to get that connection if you can't, like, not that you'd want to be, like, falling all over someone, but, you know, when you can't even hold the hand of the person that you're dancing for, you're getting naked for someone, but you can't put your arm around them. It's a bit of a fucking weird situation. So,
it is true.
It's really backward, but I think a lot of the time it's just like, put your dick away. Put the penis away. Penises are not allowed out.
Yep.
Does it make it awkward afterwards, or do you just move on?
Oh, I just move on. Like, yeah. I mean, one of the last jobs I did in the club, a guy just came in his pants without even touching his dick. Like, just literally came straight away. I was like, like, did that guys come that quickly? Like, without even, I'm like, lucky you. I'm a lucky me. I'm just lucky everyone. But I just like was like, go to the bathroom, clean yourself up, and just come back. It's just like, no judgment here, you know? I'm just like, take it as like a form of flattery. I was like, it's fine.
I was going to say, you were doing your job so well.
Right?
So it's a compliment to you.
It's just a glorious asshole, a star asshole.
In the world of both stripping and, you know, in the dom life, do you have concerns about clients getting too attached or maybe, you know, starting to think it's a relationship? Have you ever had to set boundaries and say, you know, okay, we have to slow down here. You may have to see somebody else, you're getting a little too close.
I think as long as you're upfront and you communicate in the beginning what it's going to be, obviously, like I said, people do let their emotions run away with them and try and push it, right? So it's just keeping that communication. It's just communication all the time. And it's really, really difficult when you don't want to like disappoint someone or you feel like you're not going to get the money that you need because someone's not going to get what they want. So it's just, really is about that. But I mean, it is part of the job, you know, letting someone have that girlfriend experience is part of the job. So it is kind of not telling a white lie. It's like selling a dream, you know, a lot. They all know it's like a fantasy, you know, and they know it's a fantasy. It's just when it kind of goes beyond that, it's when, yeah, it's a lot of girls find that difficult to kind of crush a man's dreams. Yeah, of course. But I mean, I've definitely been a culprit of just like letting something go on a bit too long because you don't really know how to like let someone down, you know? So,
yeah. And you don't know when it's like, is this part of the fantasy or are we in real life right now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
How do I know?
Oh, dear. It's when they come in their pants at the end and you're just like, no, that wasn't supposed to happen. This is not real life.
Don't do that.
No. Okay.
I actually, one of the questions I wanted to ask is, so I worked in a comedy club for a little over a year. I managed a comedy club. So I watched comedy every day. It was like 3 shows a day. So for that year and a little while after, I fucking hated comedy. I didn't not watch a stand-up special for years because I was like, I don't want to. So does that ever happen with you where like you go to work and you work sex all day and then you, because I know you're in a relationship, so when you come home, is it like the last thing I want to do is have sex?
You know what? Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it does literally take a small village to get me ready to have sex. Like my legs, my vagina, my asshole, but everything is just hairy. Okay. First of all. And then if you want to go to work and do all of that, then you've got razor buns. If you're shaving for work and you're shaving at home, it's just like, someone's got to see the hairy me. Okay. And it's normally my boyfriend. You. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So I mean, and also when you're on the phone, you're waking up at 9 a.m. and someone's like, oh yeah, double anal penetration. You're just like, it's too early for that. I haven't even had a coffee. I can't talk about anal now, you know, so
let me open my eyes first.
Yeah, literally, it's like literally just batting the dicks away from 9 a.m. onwards. Like, no, but yeah, I mean, I do try to decompartmentalize, and obviously, dancing and you know, working nights is also quite a big factor of it. You know, you end up being really super tired. But you know, it means I have loads of like sexy outfits that I want to wear at home. It's just like, I've got to just like get myself in the mood, you know. put some nice music on, get in, you know, the nice lighting and just feeling sexy. But it is, you know, when I would just want to go home and eat a takeaway and just like be fat, you know, that's just basically what my boyfriend sees. And, you know, at work, I'm professional. Okay. So it's bringing the professional home is getting harder and harder, especially in Corona. I would say. Yeah. For real.
Do you, when it comes to, you know, sex with your partner, do you have any kinks? Like, you have to deal with other people's kinks all day at work, but do you have any that you like to bring home?
I'm just really super open. That's one thing that I'm like really about is just like exploring and trying new things. Yeah.
Trying things. Yeah.
I think that when you're in a relationship with someone, you've been with them a long time. You also feel like there's more to lose if you do something a bit too freaky and out there. It's like, oh, well, they judge me because they know me so well. Like, they've seen me with Thai on my chest, like Thai food on my chest, like yesterday. Are they still going to want to suck my tits? Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, you don't really know like what to do. So I think, I think for me, it's just trying things and being open and also I like being submissive in my like home life because I'm quite dominant at work.
I love that. I like that you get to switch it up when you're home.
It's like you get home and it's like, I don't want to boss you around. I've been bossing people around all day. I want you to tell me what
you boss me around.
Exactly. I just want to like lie there and take it. Do you know what I mean? Just like, I just need a little rest. I might close my eyes for a bit. And then, you know what I'm saying? Wake back up and it's all happened. Yeah,
I feel like I am a sub just in life in general where it's like, I would really like someone to call me and just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Like, tell me what to do with my day. Tell me what to do with my career. Tell me how to do this because I am just so like, I'll do anything. So it's like, please just tell me what to do. I'm so tired of making my own decisions.
Yes.
I think we have time for like one more question. What should we ask? You know what? This is a good one because we had a lot of people write in about this. Do you have any advice for listeners who are struggling sexually? I know I said to you, we've got a female listeners who have written in about struggling to orgasm. And we have a listener who asked how to get back into sex after a 3-year dry spell and chronic pelvic pain. And do you have any advice for them as someone who is around sex a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just take care of yourself. And like I said, find some nice underwear, find some nice music that you like, get a good vibrator, get a good toy, and like explore your body again and get to know what you like, you know? I think you're never going to really be able to tell someone or like connect with a partner if you don't really know your body yourself. Or if you've had a dry spell, I mean, like watching porn or like reading some slutty novels or like, I don't know, just listening to some music and just having a massive wank. That might actually help.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge thing. And and just making yourself feel sexy. I think it starts from you, doesn't it? And you're never going to, you know, that kind of feeling of feeling insecure or worried, it does project. And if you feel confident yourself, then the other person that you're with as well will feel confident. It's just a massive vicious cycle, isn't it? So I think it's just taking time for yourself. I think that's something I never really did enough. You know, I never did that enough. I was always like thinking, oh, when I get to the strip club, that's when I'll get into the mood. No. You have to be in the mood before you get to the strip club, you know? Yeah. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. So, yeah.
That's such good advice. Mm-hmm. Getting in touch with your own sexuality and seeing what turns you on personally. You know, touching yourself, using the toys. It's like once you are turned on and confident in what you like and, you know, being in tune with your body, that's going to make you in the mood to be with a partner. I think that's so true.
Yeah, for real.
I never really masturbated because I think that I can get there with a toy, but I've never been able to get there with my own hands. And the thing is I'm pretty sure my clit's in a weird place. But the thing is, it's like, I don't know where I know the toy can get there, but my hands can't. But it's one of those things where like, I just didn't get it because it was like, I don't understand. Like, I need a partner. Like, there was no connection for me. And I think that women don't think about it a lot, like, because it is something we've convinced ourselves we don't need.
Yeah.
We've convinced ourselves that like, I don't need to come. And it's like, you really do though. Like, it's really good for you. Like, get it out. And that was one of the things that like, when I finally got a vibrator, I think every woman should be given a vibrator at like age 13.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
13 years old, as soon as you start, like every boy you see, you start being like, you should be given a vibrator. First of all, women, I think young girls would stop having, unsafe sex because they'd be getting it off whenever they want. And they could flirt with boys at a party, those nasty fucking teenage boys that are not worth shit, and then go home and get off.
And pleasure themselves.
Yeah. And they wouldn't. Yeah. That would solve so many problems. So that's my campaign, like Ashley Cassidy 2021 vibrators for all 13-year-old girls. But
yes, literally. Let's do it.
Literally, buy a toy. You could get a vibrator off Amazon. And I know that like Amazon sucks, but like you could get a vibrator anywhere and just like teach yourself about your body, your own body.
I think toys are great for by yourself. And I will also say, as a married person who has gone through dry spells with her husband, toys also spice things up in a relationship and have really helped me and Alex as well. So toys all around, I think, is just a great thing to promote.
Yeah. But it's like, because there's so many as well. Like there's so many websites, so many things. Mm-hmm. It does take a lot of reading or like asking your girlfriends. Because like every girl's got one. And everyone's got like, you know, the Nimbus 5000 that's like, oh my God, that new toy. Oh my God, what does it do? Like, honestly. So I think it's asking girlfriends as well, because if there's one thing buying them online and reading the reviews, but then if you know someone has tried it, you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I've got loads of like references from sex toys from my friends. Yes. And they're normally my really vanilla friends. I'm like, oh, you've got a fucking sex toy chest like under your bed? I'm like, oh, honey, I didn't know this. I didn't even ask you. So yeah, that's
it's
a big
thing. It's usually the quiet ones.
Yeah.
That just have
fucking
the
massive
arsenal.
Strap-on dildos. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, the leather outfit.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, Chloe, I know you have to go. We are going to have you on the show again because I, like, as we were talking, I thought of like 1,000 other questions that I want to ask.
Same.
So we are definitely, definitely, definitely going to have you on the show again. It's just because it's this show. Have you ever had a paranormal experience?
There's only one thing that sticks to mind, because I swear I see shit all the time, and it's probably because I'm really hungover most of my life. So I'm like, I can't be sure if it's actually me or just ghosts just following me everywhere.
But I feel that deeply.
Literally, just too much weed. But I'm thinking like, okay, when my grandma died, like this was a really long time ago when I was like 16 or something. My mum was like, she came out of her bathroom one day and she looked all like shaky and weird. And she was like, I said to her, what's up with you? What's wrong? And she was like, I just saw your grandma. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, it was like a light on my shoulder. And she was looking in the mirror and she just like looked at me like through this light. And I was like, I just saw that on the stairs. So I didn't really realize I'd like seen this like flicker of light on my staircase. And I was like, oh, this is, I was 60 years old, so I wasn't doing drugs at that point. So I was thinking, right, well, I probably did see something strange or drinking at that point. So it wasn't me being hungover at 16. But yeah, thinking back on it, I definitely saw this like a flicker of light, like that wasn't supposed to be there. And I think, and it like shat me up a little bit. And then when my mum had said, oh, actually, I had this weird experience in our bathroom, I was like, oh, okay, me too. So that's the only thing that I've ever really felt like unexplained.
Sure.
Other than, you know, like I said, me being really drunk all the time and seeing strange shit. But yeah, that's probably it for me,
it's
I'd say.
Really nice
I wish
have,
I saw more.
Yeah, it is same. Really nice to have a story corroborated, though, like that.
I was just going to say, to get the confirmation from your mom, I feel like that helps so much to not sit and wonder, did I see
did
that?
Did I or didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, and she's such a serious woman as well. She's not really about that sort of thing. She was like, yeah, she like looked really, really like shaken up. So I was thinking, right, okay, this has to be something serious then. But yeah, for real. Oh, I wish I'd see more though. Yeah, cool.
Well, we'll get more into it the next time we have you on. We'll get more into the weird...
Yes.
Yeah. Paranormal. The paranormal. Actually, someone was like, have you ever seen a ghost in a brothel? And I was like, first of all, I don't think anyone calls them brothels anymore. Second of all, that's probably the last thing she's looking for.
Right. Dawn of the Dying Stripper. Just like some stripper zombies just killing us all. Fucking hell. Honestly, there's probably some fucking women still stuck in the strip club like from like 2 years ago that haven't left. Or probably get like, I'll probably like still go into work in like 2 months. next time, and there'll be women like, we've been here the whole time waiting for
trying to get out of the club.
Yeah, literally. Corona what? I don't know. Oh, shit.
Chloe, thank you so much for coming on our show. We've been looking forward to this for literal months.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Honestly, like, absolute pleasure. And I'd love to come back again and talk with you ladies again. So, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
We will definitely make that happen. And everyone listen to Stripper Stories, yes? On iTunes. Woo!
Yes.
All right, Chloe, thank you so much. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
That's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure you check out the podcast Stripper Stories on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your favorite shows. And you can also follow Stripper Stories at Stripper Stories Podcast on Instagram. Chloe is awesome. We really hope you enjoyed her interview and it got you warmed up for a deeper dive into sex next week with me and Lauren. In the meantime, if you would, head over to our iTunes and give our show a 5-star rating. That would be awesome. Thank you so much. Follow us on social media at Keep It Weirdcast on all platforms. Check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast to find ways that you can help our show and get bonus episodes. And of course, head over to our Etsy page at etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast if you want to get yourself some sweet, 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 sweet merch.
Do it. The shirts, the sweatpants, the totes, all of it is gold. Go over and get you some.
It's free. Just kidding. That was a joke. It's not free. I'm so sorry.
Wouldn't that be great? But that'd be awesome. I'm sorry. We're trying to, you know, make our way in the world. It's all right.
It's not free. Sign off? Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh, baby, baby.
I'm in love with the stripper. Baby, she ride and she roll and she, I don't know all the words, but that's a T-Pain song.
I put it in, it was the title of, or it wasn't the title, but it was on like the edit.
You did, you put it on our Instagram, you're right. I'm in love with this stripper. That's why it was in my head. I was like, why was I singing that this morning? It was because Ashley put it on her Insta, but also it's a jam. It's a bop. It is a jam.
Also, we are currently in love with a stripper, so it works. We're in love with a stripper. We hope you're in love with a stripper. Keep it weird, guys.
Keep it weird.
Oh, by the way, I'm Ashley, and then Lauren has the raspier voice.
Okay. I have the deeper rasp voice, yeah.
Okay, noted.
All right. Here we go.